Osiris.
Hey, Osiris listeners. We want to tell you about our friends at Sunset Lake CBD who support this show. Sunset Lake CBD is a Vermont hemp farm crafting affordable CBD products designed to help with sleep and stress without breaking the bank. If you haven't tried CBD before, take it from me, it's a game changer. I use Sunset Lake's tincture every night before I go to bed, helping me get solid, restful sleep. And their gummies are great for daytime. Check out their new Good Vibes gummies, which have just a bit of hemp-derived THC to help you relax and unwind. Sunset Lake CBD crafts products with hemp grown on their family farm and ships them directly to customers. They have tinctures, salves, edibles, coffee, smokables, and even pet products. By the way, their CBD chocolate fudge is awesome. Check them out today at sunsetlakecbd.com and use coupon code TIME for 20% off all products. Sunset Lake CBD, farmer-owned, Vermont-grown.
Loyalty described as, do you care? And I care, and that's why I'm on this show. Comes a time, here we go.
I'm a sucker for O'Teal, man. It's all that same feeling that I have, that what he filled a void that I didn't even know existed.
It feels so good to, as Ben said, to try to do something about an issue as opposed to complaining.
If you can't help, don't hurt.
If we could just all get out there and throw cream puffs at each other, maybe things would, instead of bullets and angry words, it would be better.
When you stop laughing, you stop living.
There's a worldwide surge in interest in mushrooms.
It was deep, man.
It's not that TM makes your mind quiet down there. It already is. We're just stuck up here. We've lost access.
My Jumpin' Jack Flash came out by the Stones. So I thought, all right, perfect, man. I'm gonna drive, and I started driving through the neighborhood, and I got a text from Mick Jagger.
People saying that, you know, what we do is non-essential. Well, playing those few gigs that you saw me at felt pretty essential to me.
It wasn't like they were clapping from here. Is they were clapping from here.
My view of things is that death is the last and best reward for a life well lived.
Like you gotta, it's the strangest of places if you look at it right, you know?
If you're liking what you're hearing, head on over to patreon.com/comesatimepod and get your bus pass for an extra episode every week.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Welcome back to another episode of Comes a Time. That's O'Teal. Where are you?
That's Mike.
Hi, bud. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, everyone. Happy Hanukkah. Happy solstice and everything. Other thing.
Happy G-A-T. Day.
Yeah, we have a good, I couldn't think of a more perfect last show of the year, Christmas edition, holiday edition, than our buddy from Trey Anastasio Band. Sax player, multi-instrumentalist James Casey. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That was something.
Yeah. And how perfect that it's the end of our year and it's him and it's everything he's going through and the spirit that he brings to it. And the man, yeah, you can't cap a year better than what we just did. I mean, this.
Yes.
And he's unbelievable.
For fans that don't know, he is, he's fighting cancer right now, fighting for his life.
Yeah.
Today, the day of us shooting this show was his chemo day. And he just has so much light and laughter and just energy. I know he's not gonna have a lot of energy like from now till, because we do our intros after the episode, so he's gonna be down later today. But just what an attitude.
Like, I know
what an outlook, man.
And you know, when you know, you learn he has it, and then you follow all the shows he's doing and all the music he's putting out and all the projects that he's doing and this new Christmas album that came out. And you know, we've talked a lot about, you know, pre-pandemic and pandemic and going back on the road and how the road makes you tired and the road this and the road that. And then you think about, like, he just did this tour with Trey and Goose and it was a phenomenal tour,
yeah.
But it had to be, I mean, it's taxing
doing without, chemo right. the whole time.
So just to like be there to watch him step out and take his solos and sing and be a part of that, you know, like it's really special. It's super special. And I hope he knows how important it is and how much we all love it and love him. And I was just really excited to have him on. And this was, it didn't disappoint. I mean, I think this is one of the best for sure. I know for we always sure. say it, but man, this one,
I know we do, but it's always true.
I know. Yeah, it really is.
And he's got a new Christmas album out that just sold out like that, you know, and just the whole story of how everything came together. And he's got some great stories, some really beautiful stuff that will enrich your life today.
And this is just the beginning. He'll be back. He'll be back many times. We may even make a little segment for him.
We should just brighten my day. That's a day Hell brightener,
yeah.
man.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I'm trying to think of how many times I've played with him since he started chemo. I know at least one that I can think of. I bet more than
a couple times, right? I think you guys.
Yeah, I think so. And
in the summer,
and I think we have something coming up. I don't remember when, but you guys should really check out this whole episode.
And you know what? This is a good time for us to say thanks to all of you for listening. And we have some fans that you know, communicate with us and collaborate with us. And we love you guys and Eric and everybody that's a part of.
Yes. Big what shout we out do. To Eric. Eric, come on the screen, man. This is the last show of the year. The team on there the is. Wizard.
Ho, ho, ho. That's our
Merry
Santa
Christmas.
Right there.
Happy holidays.
But thank you honestly for listening and thank you for being a part of it. And only good things to come. We got a lot of plans and a lot of surprises coming. So we thank you all very much and be safe and happy and healthy and take care of each other and all of that stuff. And thank you guys. You two dudes. I love you both. All right.
One day soon.
All right. Enough.
One day soon, we're all going to have that Sally's pizza together.
Hey. Forget about it. We love you all. Enjoy James. And thank you, James. And we'll see you soon, everyone.
Peace.
Good to see you, James. Thank you so much for joining us, man.
Of course, man. It's good to be here. I'm glad to be here. And I was actually I like podcasts a lot, and I don't really get a chance to be on them. This is, I think, my third one ever. So
go.
You should be a regular, dude. You will be.
It won't be. Let's go.
You should have your own.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You should totally have your own.
Really? You ever think about that? About doing your own podcast?
I actually did. I was talking to the Cyrus people about it right as I left Hawaii, and we had started to get into it. And I actually did three episodes already. One's with Lewis Cato, one's with my friend Radar Ellis, and one plan on doing with a lady who's the senior executive at Man Size Music that does a whole lot of they do the music for extremely high end like Panera Bread, stuff like that, like all the music for their company, that type of stuff. So I want to interview her just to see different aspects of the music industry.
And, that's a great idea.
How it works. But the health thing really kind of like stopped a lot of the progress for a lot of the things that I had going on. But I mean, I still haven't recorded and I still have the ideas and stuff done. It's just I haven't really had the chance to finish it, put it out yet.
You're such a trooper with that, man. It's it's amazing. I've been, you know, James has done some shows with me. I'm just like, wow, how you're doing it is amazing. And you said before we got on that today is a chemo day. So people are like, you know, This is the face of battling right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you look at it, so that is the chemo that I have is the one that I do is it's a every 2 week regimen, but it's for 2 days long. So I have a pump connected to me for this particular part of the chemo that will be injected for 2 days long. So to do this podcast, I had to make sure that it had to be in the morning. I had to make sure that I woke up at least an hour and a half early to get enough energy to do this podcast.
Yeah.
And then right after this, like the medication started immediately. So I'll be asleep for the rest of the day, probably.
Really?
Yeah, but those are the type of things that you have to like. There's ways to get through this particular chemo that I'm on while, you know, still having a life. Mm. As much as I possibly can, like being a musician, obviously I don't have the day-to-day as everyone else does. Right, so I can plan out the things that I need to do. Mm-hmm. And it just takes a lot of planning, a lot of realizing, a lot of listening to your body and just be like, you know, sometimes I can't do everything.
Is this a new method of chemo administration? The kind of 2 days on and like...
No, it's not new. It's just... the original chemo that I was on was on a different plan that didn't take. So this other option of the main types of ways to fight the cancer that I have, this is the lesser of the two options. But for some reason, this is the option that's working for me. So this is the one that I every 2 weeks got to take it home, go to sleep for 48 hours basically, and use the next 2 days to try to make sure to recover as much of that as I can get back. And it happens again the next week.
Now you're going to sleep because you're tired or you sleep because it'll just wipe you out. So you might as well just stay in bed.
It's both. We all get tired. We've all been athletes at some point. I was like, you get tired and then there's always this extra little bit that you got just in case, like,
just
to get home just in case, or, you know, that's gone. The extra is gone. The I can push past. There's no more energy left. The chemo, what it does to your body while you're, you know, your body basically sees the poison and tries its best to get it out of you. And it takes so much energy to do that while it's also killing the cancer cells. It just takes so much energy out of your body just to get it out. That's the fatigue. That's why you get so tired and why I have to eat as many calories as I possibly can just to make sure that, because your body's working so hard on the chemo.
Yeah. It's like legitimate fuel at this point.
Yeah.
The food. Does it take your appetite away though?
Yep. The reason why I have an appetite now is weed, marijuana. And I haven't smoked since 2008. But the edibles, yeah, and I don't particularly care for the being high part because I really enjoy my brain fast as it normally is, but with this I got no choice, so I take somewhere around 500 some milligrams a day. Within between the RSO and all the things that I have to do throughout the day just to make sure that I have an appetite, that I don't, you know, that the nausea doesn't take over. Plus, cannabinoids at a high enough doses actually do kill cancer cells. So it's part of my oncology situation. So I have the hospital I go to. Yeah, no. At the hospital I go to, I have a regular oncologist and I have an integrative oncologist. They work as a team. So that's including like all the supplements, the mushrooms, all the stuff, everything. That also includes, it's not directly telling me to smoke weed or to use.
Yeah, but you could take it however.
They can't, but no, they are very, very positive about what they like my experience. They know that, I mean, what I have to take, I've been extremely blessed by the people within the Fish and Jam Band and the Grateful Dead community to provide me certain people to provide me with the meds that I actually really need.
The good stuff.
Really, really amazing. And I appreciate them all for it. so much too. So that I'm
not even saying. It's just the highest quality stuff.
It really is. It's the highest quality you can get made by people who have been studying this particular thing for generations.
Just for this reason too.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it really is incredible how people, and you've seen that, and I'd love to hear more about that, like how you've seen and felt the community love and support. And I mean, we saw you play at Mohegan. Eric, we were talking before you came on, and just, I told you then, and I'll tell you again, like, it just, you're an inspiration, because you know, the energy that you bring to the show. And I'm thinking about you up there. You must be tired. You must be exhausted, but, and the sonic, the band behind you, the drums, the noise, just everything, like, is so, like, the vibration you're in, you know. Yeah. And then you take a couple steps up and you hit that horn and the whole place, I'm telling you, I hope you feel it, because I'm watching it from the crowd, everybody just rises up and like floats a couple inches above the ground, and so happy to see you playing, and loves what you're giving us. And I hope you can feel what we're throwing back at you, man.
I really appreciate it. Three things. One, it's different with in-ears than it is without. Yeah, so O'Teal can speak to it. Yeah. Because so after the show, I mean, it's the applause, the prestige, the feedback. With in-ears, I hear only what I want to hear and only what I need to hear.
Can I get those for everyday life?
I mean, you can.
You can, that's
it. Turn off certain people.
They can turn off frequencies. They can do a whole lot of rare stuff, man. They can do a lot.
Can it turn off whole political parties?
Man, I wish. But yeah, but so that's the thing. So the response, the feedback, it's not the same. Like we would have to turn on. We do, obviously, we turn on microphones facing the audience so we can hear some things. But all I hear in my ears are the things I need to hear to make sure that I can do a great job going out. And so you'll see us after the show, like at the end for our encores, we usually take our ears out so we can, appreciate.
And it's like,
it's like 200 more decibels just hit you right in the ear, and that girl's been yelling at you to look at her in the face the whole time. Is you now see her and hear, all that.
I've seen you on stage playing with it a little bit. Like, I've seen you taking them out, putting them in.
That's because that's for solos. I always keep one out for solos loud or high. Just to sure I keep a little bit of the open air. You just kind of need, I need that. So.
Yeah. A lot of the guys I've worked with, they like to have one out, and it just freaks me out. I feel I just have a symmetry thing. Like, I don't like to be unbalanced. Like, although I have done it sometimes just to hear some of the natural reverb of the place.
Right.
You know, but I like to like seal everything out, but I do get some audience in there, you know. I just don't, the way you having to do this regimen on the road, like,
because
then you can't really, it's not always convenient to sleep for 2 days or be in the bed for 2 days, you know.
So, I can explain. All right, so just got off a tour, so. It was a lot of work, and I've got to give the camp, Trey's camp, all the love in the world, because Richard Glasgow and Abby and everybody over there, Patrick, they made it so that I could be on tour. And then they flew me home for the 2 days that I wouldn't be able to for chemo. And like things like that, that's, they made sure that I was going to be able to, I mean, flew me home, obviously, like making sure that from home to the doctor, back home, back to them, making sure that everything was taken care of as much as possible. I mean, to the point of, so we travel a little bit differently. We travel, For those who don't know touring bands, most touring bands, when they're traveling in buses, until they get to a certain point, they usually stay in the buses. You know what I'm saying? They'll have a day room and they stay in the buses. With Trey's band, we don't do that. It's all hotels and everything. But because of this situation, I need to be able to sleep a lot sometimes. And, you know, a lot of green rooms, there's not a lot of space for that, you know, depending on the situation, you know, especially in arenas, they don't really have space for that. Mm. The bus is always there, no matter what, like whether the bus can't necessarily be there, the bus is there for me just so I can sleep. Like that.
That's beautiful. Like,
you can't even that doesn't seem like a big thing, but that's a huge thing.
It's huge.
And they think about all of those things.
And it all costs a lot of money.
Like, I know.
The flights back and forth, you know, like, and that's big when someone has your back like that. You know, it makes you want to cry.
It makes the difference, man. That changes my perspective. It changed my my desire. I want to go out there and make sure that I can do the best that I can, obviously, anyway, no matter what. But now it's more so than that, because these people truly care, which is not to say that they didn't before, but it's a huge difference.
Proof is there.
It's
still hard on you, man. I know, for traveling, for me, flying, extra flying is hard.
It's hard. I mean, it drives you out. We live where we've been extremely blessed, and like we don't complain about things like that in, you know, in mixed company, because it sounds ridiculous. Like, I averaged in this year with all this chemo stuff, with the craziness in the last, I guess, since August, I will now have averaged about a flight a week for the whole year.
Wow.
Oh, that's so much more than I want to fly.
Right. So the amount of the things, I mean, we obviously, since we do this travel a lot, we find ways to make it easier for us. So obviously the frequent flyers, the lounges, to make sure that, since we do it so much.
Miles is miles.
You're traveling all of that, the plane travel dries you out like crazy.
Yeah.
And that it's a lot, man.
And you have that anxiety going of like, don't want to be late. What if the flight's late? All the normal travel stuff.
Stress.
It's exhausting.
Stress miles on your body. You don't want to add stress, but I'm sure that's even different, because I bet when you're fighting for your life, the things that would normally stress you out, you're like, yeah, actually, that's not a big deal.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just reality.
You know what helps with that a lot? We do. I mean, you take enough weed.
I'm glad you're back, bro. I don't want it to be this way, but it does. That, you know, I let go of one thing after another, but it's just like, just one thing. I don't want to say I need it.
Right.
But just one thing that really helps with a myriad of things, and that's cannabis, you know?
It does, man. And it wasn't that I was against it. It's just I know my brain, and I know how, like, I have one of those like fast switch brains, and I know that when it slows down, it gets a little annoying. However, for everything else, like, I can deal with life a whole lot easier. Okay. My synapses are not moving as fast as they would have before today. Great. You know what? I'm not dealing with that motherfucker right there. I'm not dealing with him. I'm not dealing with them.
See, my synapses, I guess I never looked at it as them moving slower, but them just moving more unpredictably, which I'm good with. I'm like, I like that better than what I thought of.
Right.
Like, they just went, rah!
It's just nowadays with weed too. It's like the turn you take is such a drastic turn. If it's the right one, it's awesome. If it's the wrong one,
dosage is everything. Shit,
buckle up, man.
We should microdose everything. Food. Now they're even saying slow up on the water. Food, do you see that one?
Like, I mean, if we're running out.
No, it's 8 glasses is too much, it turns out, which I knew. I was like, how am I supposed to drink all this?
But oh my God.
I go till the body says stop. But yeah, I'm trying to microdose everything except for practicing.
Yeah. Microdose flying. Hey,
you know what? There's something you just said that's really, really interesting. You said go till the body says stop. So during this time, I've gotten a really extremely good, me and my body are really close now.
In a way that
I guess it couldn't have been, because I haven't, you know, you don't spend that much time alone by yourself in a room with your body as you do now. And you have to like figure out how I'm feeling, why I'm feeling, what this is. Mm. Over this last year and a half, I have a relationship with my body that I didn't even know was possible. Like, I know exactly where everything is from the second it goes into my body to the second it goes out. I can pinpoint it. I can literally think where it is. I can move. I swear to God, this sounds really, really weird. It sounds weird as fuck. And I've only explained it to like 2 people, including and my partner. She's seen me do it, so she was like, "All right, you can. I can literally like move things inside of my body, like in within my digestive tract, move things around.
It's
out of control. Didn't know it was possible. It takes a long time to do, like a lot of the mental. Yeah. But you can. I'm learning. There's a lot more to my body and the mind body.
Connection
than I had ever thought before.
Wow.
That might have been because it might have been because either I was numb to it before, or I didn't need it, or whatever. But right
now, unaware.
A whole lot of distractions and stuff. Yeah.
I think you didn't need it might be the thing, because it's like then you don't have to think about, because it's one of those things where you don't even, sometimes you don't know the questions that you have to ask, or you don't think of, like, why would you ever have to think about moving something in your body?
But it's good to know, though, because like you always hear the stories of these yogis. Like this happened to Kofi before he passed away. The first time he went down, he was in such a deep meditative state, and that, you know, when your blood pressure gets too high, they freak out. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know, I can slow my heart down. Like I've realized, but he had been. Yeah. He'd been so aware of his body just laying there on the bed and exploring, becoming in touch with his body. And he's like, I could slow my heartbeat down. I could slow he could bring its blood pressure. I was like, wow, man.
No,
but you hear yogis doing that all the time. And it's just our society doesn't teach us that.
And I've never done yoga. I've never been a yogi. I'm not that person. I'm coming at it from a literally totally different side. And I'm telling you that this stuff is still true.
It's definitely, you know, 100%. What tipped me off was, and this is, sounds funny, and I don't mean to be crude, but there's sometimes like before I did juiced and did yoga and all that, I would have a really hard time pooping because I ate like crap. Right.
Right.
And then sometimes, you know, on the road, like you gotta go. Part of why I started smoking would help me go smoke a cigarette.
Right. Yes. Instant diuretic.
Yeah. But when I couldn't do that, if I took all my clothes off in the bathroom, I can't do it. This morning, I know TMI, but I just took all my clothes off. I'm juicing now, so it's just like that. Mm-hmm. But I was under time crunch, and I can make it. I can, like you said, I could see
it. You can do it. Yeah.
And that's why when you said that, I was like, yeah, that's a for real thing. But I never did it with food when it first goes in.
Bro, I'm telling you, I did it because of this, because of the way this whole thing affects your GI tract. I mean, you have to focus on it all the time. You really have no choice. I'm throwing up, right?
So you got to.
It's throw up, it's nausea, it's immediate. So, yeah. I mean, dealing with that doesn't stop when I'm on stage. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if I'm playing a 4-hour show, I still gotta, this is all.
Yeah. It's not just during treatment. Yeah.
No. Woo! No.
Dude.
Damn, dude.
You know what? I'm sure in some ways, I won't say you'll be glad for it, but on the other side of this, you'll be better for it because you'll have new superpowers. And you're like,
bruh,
I might not have ever known that had I not gone through that. Yeah. We were talking about this yesterday, right?
Yeah. We were talking about this yesterday.
On a totally different subject.
Yep.
But the same, you know.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Everything that I've learned so much, my life has changed so drastically in my mindset from this whole process that there's no way that I would go back. Even though me going back means a lot. That would mean a lot going forward. My mindset and my actions and my my intentions are so different right now.
Yeah.
Because of something coming in and, you know, wrecking my whole life and me having to build it back up into something else and to seeing what it could be. And I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't change it. I'm a much better person. I'm a much more confident person. I'm a much nicer person. The way I treat other people, I see is better. So I think that's enough.
I mean, those are all the things that you just listed. That's what I want to be better at. I want to be nicer, you know, more grateful, like not taking anything for granted.
Super interesting to hear you say confidence too, because that's when your body, you know, I think there's like some surrender of control. Like when something happens that you didn't put it in there, it happened. And you go like, this is part of this life, right? Where we really don't have much control over a lot of things, but now it's how you adapt and react and what you bring to it. And to hear you say confidence, it's clearly visible when you're playing. But afterwards, you know, like the quiet moments, you're saying sitting in your house alone and stuff. Like I think about that with you, or what are those moments like, you know, is it a lot of reflection? Is it a lot of distraction? Is it a lot of, you know, like, how do you handle those moments?
That's a great question. So, I alluded to it a little bit earlier. So cancer, when the diagnosis comes, you know, you've built up your house, you've built up all the things that you've done in your life, and it'll come in and it'll hit with a wrecking ball, the base. Yeah. It won't knock the whole thing down, but it'll hit the base so much that you're teetering. And so you got to build back up that base with something. Because you got to build the back the base up. Here's how I picture it. You have to build the base back up with something. You need to use the things that you have up here that you would like all the higher level things to build back that base. And what that does is that creates different pathways going up. So I had to change the way I solo. I had to completely from the bottom up, change the way I approach soloing, because I approach soloing more from an athletic perspective. Meaning, it's an emotional thing, but before we get to the emotions, it's technical. It's more cerebral. That was before. Not anymore. It's not that I can't do that anymore. It's that I cannot do that anymore. I can't do that. I don't have the facility, and I can't have the facility the same way of, you know, as somebody who has been practicing the saxophone for as long as I had. So because my approach to soloing was mostly cerebral and then emotional, I had to change it backwards, basically, from more emotional to, and then use the cerebral, use the technical things as garnishes. And the whole solo is more about the emotion of the moment, as opposed to look at what I can do. Look at what I can do within reflection of this moment. Like I can, it's more of this needs this, as opposed to I can do this over top of this.
That sounds like Jerry Garcia. Do you feel it hit with the audience different?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. And I checked it for two different artists, with the giant audiences. And I went on a small tour with Jennifer to make sure that it translated there too. And it does. Yeah. It does.
Wow.
That's great. That's what Colonel Bruce did for me. Mm-hmm. I was the cerebral chops, you know, to impress, you know, and he just showed me with folk music, some of which didn't have any chops, and I didn't think of as cerebral, as higher harmony and all that, but then it just took my head off or took my breath away. Or, and he was like, that's what connects with people, you know? And the guys that have a lot of chops that can still do that, they're like, you know, I like, but I also like the guys with zero chops that have that thing, because it's just like, because the guy with a lot of chops can't do that.
Can't do that. They can't do it at all.
But they don't know how yet.
They're trying to do that. They're like, just like when people who are like real, real soulful try to play the jazz lick that they know. Like you're trying to do something. You do you, and it sounds great. Once you start trying to do something else, that's when things get a little iffy.
So do you think you found more you, or just more a different side of you, or more an evolution of you, or what?
I would say that it would be nice to call it an evolution, because I still have all the knowledge from before. I still have all the, you know, I can pull out any of that stuff whenever it needs to be pulled out. But, and I still, you know, practice my facility, but for solo, for the way, no. There had to be a different way of reaching people without me doing all the things that would have tired me out too much to be able to actually do it. So it took about 6 months to solidify it, but I think I got it now.
So the key is now when it doesn't tire you out anymore, and you probably be like, yeah, I'm not going to go back to that. You can use it. It just won't tire you out. But I bet this stays, you know, the dominant.
Well, I agree.
Because as a byproduct, James, you had to change how you listen. So that's never going to go away. Like now you hear from a certain standpoint, and that's interesting too, because like you may know when to you know, if you have that reserve of energy, like you have to kind of parse it. And so your listening probably changed quite a bit too.
It's funny because you said like, what does this thing need right now?
Yeah.
That's what it just reminds me of Colonel Bruce so much, because he was so intense. You know, at the same time he was saying, don't take yourself so seriously, he was so intense about it that it was life or death. And there's something about that life or death thing that is what helps you see, okay, what does this really need? Life or death? What does it really need? And then you can see it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's
exactly what what is necessary for this thing right now? So I come from a gospel background, and I've been doing basically concerts every week since I was three, like you do when you play in church.
Three.
So,
Sunday, and Wednesday, Saturday.
We can talk about
it. He's like, that's it?
No. Oh, man. I was talking to my girl recently. And I'm sorry to go on a small tangent, but I was talking to my girl recently, and I realized that I've, since I was a child, like a child, like a 3-year-old child,
not wiping yourself yet.
I've been preparing for a concert since then, my whole life. There's never been a time where I haven't been, haven't had something, some musical thing on the horizon until chemo. And that's why I was like, till chemo started, I was like, what is this? Is this? So like,
amazing.
Because even during the pandemic, you were still preparing.
Performing. Built a whole live streaming studio for everybody just so I could keep performing. Yes.
Damn.
Sometimes God says, everybody stop.
That happened right after Ray Rocks with Billy Kay. Literally right after. We had just got back from Hawaii. Right after, like a week later, I was in the hospital.
That's right. I remember, because we were talking right before that.
Mm-hmm. Were you feeling exhausted? Were you feeling tired? Were you feeling anything? Or did it just kind of like blindside you right after?
So for those of you all who don't know, colon cancer is, before I go into it, colon cancer is 100% preventable if you get colonoscopies. If you get a colonoscopy and they see a polyp, they'll get it and it's gone. You don't have to worry about it. And it takes about 5 to 10 years for it to grow. Right there. There you go. There you
That's
go.
Mine and
it
right
takes about,
there, dude.
It takes about 5 to 10 years for it to grow from a polyp to a tumor. So that's a long time that you would never know. Unfortunately, most people who get this are between the ages of 45 and 50.
Yeah.
That's most.
You weren't
except,
due yet, huh?
Right. I wasn't due yet, but for Black men, the age should be down to like 35. Mm, and
I know.
So the insurance companies and the lobbyists are trying to lower the age of colonoscopies for everybody, but definitely for Black men to 35. Because I'm not 40, I'm not 45. Either was Chadwick Boseman. Yeah, this is a thing.
Yeah, I got my first one at 45 because that's when they said you were.
That's what they said.
You were
right.
Due to get your first one.
Mm. Yeah.
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 So I just caught you by surprise. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, man. What a trip. But
you were feeling it. You were feeling run down. You were feeling sick.
I wasn't feeling run down. I had been getting progressively tired over the last couple years, but I thought that I was just getting older. I didn't know.
And the road, how do you know when you're on the road all the time?
Exactly.
Because it's gradual. And you think, oh, I'm just.
It's almost like weird if you're not tired on the road.
Yeah. You know?
Then it's like, what the hell is. Yeah.
And so to be honest, that year and change that I spent in Hawaii probably helped me. It prolonged my good feelings before all the things went down.
Yeah.
So. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So to go back to your question, at Red Rocks, I felt like my stomach was bloated, but I thought it had something to do with the altitude because everything weird up there. So
it's weird.
No, it's like I felt like my stomach was bloated. I went to the hospital a week later.
Wow, yeah. That's why our healthcare system, like, you know, I realize if I was in Canada, I would just go get an MRI. I would go just look at everything, but it costs so much friggin' money. No, it doesn't cost. They charge so much money that who would do it? But if you're in Canada, you know, I started getting migraines and I was like, man, do I have a tumor in my head or something? You know, I was like, I should be able to go to get an MRI and it's not like however.
You could do it with your car. You could do it with your house. You could do it with your
dog.
I know, dude.
Yeah.
I know. You can't do it with you. I believe the Mayo Clinic has a kind of, you know, like a 360 scan type thing you could buy and go kind of get like everything tested, but it's totally not covered. It's thousands and thousands of dollars. No, it's for rich people.
A regular CT scan is $3,000. Now, shouldn't that be $3,000? No, it's literally the cost of moving magnets and getting an image. That's the research into that. Yes, that took a whole lot. That was a long time ago.
That machine's paid for. Exactly.
Canada,
we're not leasing the machine anymore.
In Canada, it don't cost that. That's why I was like, you should take the money, have a nice Canadian vacation, get you a good hotel. Like,
and
go to the hospital. I got headaches. Just get a CT, you know, get an MRI or whatever. Yeah. They probably charge you about $600. Spend all the thousands of dollars on the vacation.
Yeah.
You know, like here we're just getting, we're brainwashed, man. We don't.
Man, so I had to get this is a story from years ago, but I had to get my tonsils taken out and I didn't have insurance. And I had a friend who passed, and his father was a doctor. He lived in Greece. For me to get my tonsils taken out, I had to fly to Greece to get it taken out for free. The flight to Greece
was still cheaper, wasn't it?
So much cheaper. So much cheaper. I mean, like, we're talking like on an order of magnitude of maybe 10 to 10, like how much cheaper?
Wow.
Yeah. We're brainwashed, man. We're brainwashed.
Yeah.
And you get to go to Greece.
Get your tonsils out. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. That's why I was like, get the vacation. Get your tonsils out.
Yeah, why not?
We're spending all this money. Like, just get the vacation. spend the money on you, not the, you know, like, if that's, or just save the money.
Or just save the money.
Or just save the money. But you can go, like, I bet if I go to Canada, now I'm not saying this like I know this, fans, but if I bet if I go to Canada and I'm like, oh my God, my head hurts so bad. Seriously, this is really bad. I think I should get an MRI. They'd be like, sure. You know, it's just $600.
In the same way that a lot of people in the same way that a lot of people I know who live in Arizona and California, they go down to Mexico to get their prescriptions.
Right.
Medical tourism. Everybody's brainwashed. Yeah. That's how it's going to be to get an abortion once the Supreme Court. We're going off on a tangent, I know.
Yeah, Christmas man, we can go off, man. But that's dude, your ridiculous. Christmas album.
Sell your Christmas album.
Sell your Christmas. Don't get me started, man. Look, don't get me started. Dude.
So, walking into winter wonderland. Let's get into it.
But really, for real, your Christmas album, because that was that kind of made me tear up one time, man. You were like,
oh,
I thought it was so beautiful, because I was thinking like, wow, he's on the road. Like, how tired must he be already? And now you're doing this whole thing. And tell about how that came about.
Sure. So, my girlfriend, she has a friend that she grew up with, named Richard Langhorne, and, his mother passed, unfortunately, from cancer a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And what he was doing, he started a 501c3 to, do a concert every year called Christmas Eve Eve. And, in honor of his mom, and DJ Williams was a friend of his. So DJ would come in and his band, either Shots Fired or DJ Williams, his band, and he would do the concert every year for that event. And they would do, you know, a lot of auctions and stuff, and they would donate all the proceeds to the Nancy Langhorne Foundation. So during the pandemic, they were obviously weren't able to do that. So he, Richard, who runs the nonprofit, he hit up DJ. He's like, yo, so how about doing instead of us getting together to do this party that we do every year, how about doing a Christmas EP? And so he decided to do it last year. You know, he did one, it was four songs, and he put it out just like I did. And so they asked me to do it in the end of last year. And I saw it as a little bit of a different opportunity than maybe DJ did or even them, considering the fact that I'd never released anything under my own name. And a lot. So, I also was working on some music that I'd done while I was in Kauai, and I was thinking of putting that out as well. So the initial plan was to put out a Christmas record. I mean, to put out the Kauai record in October and then have the Christmas record be like, also ran. Hey, I also did this thing. I worked on it.
Yeah.
Would love to have you all here. That didn't work out at all. That plan. Yeah. So when he told me about this whole project, this was in December last year. And at that time, I was under the impression that I was going to be done with chemo by March, like in the beginning of March. I was supposed to be done already.
2022.
Okay. And so I was finished. I even did a post according to the docs at the time at the hospital I was at. I was good. So I thought I would have, you know, a month to get the Christmas album done. The deadline was April 5th to get everything done by for the vinyls and stuff. So had a month. Did not have a month because right when I went, literally while I was in the, I seem to have told the story yet. Literally while we were in the studio, I was doing a pass on Christmas Time Is Here. The doc, Patrick, the trades manager, called me and we were talking about dates. And I was working about the things because I didn't know what's going to happen with the chemo, with everything going forward, because it seemed like it was all going to be fine. While I was on the phone, in between takes, I passed the phone to Ayla, and then the doctor called me while I was on the phone and said, you need to come back in tomorrow. You found the problems. The tumors are in your, there's a tumor in your liver, and there's tumors in your
stomach line in your intestinal wall. And we did not know that till just now. You need to come in now. So I only had that day to record. I think that might have been April 2nd. And so I had to finish at least that take. That take made the album. But like right after all that, I had to at least finish that take and then go home and figure out a lot of things. And basically finish the record at home in my studio right here over the next couple of days while I was figuring that out. So that's how that happened. And then I finished this record, this Christmas EP in a couple of weeks. And the Kawhi record isn't finished yet because the strings take forever. So strings always take the longest. So I had to postpone that. So that's not gonna come out until March of next year. And so we had this Christmas thing that I was gonna put out anyway. It had to come out. We had the date set and all the stuff was already in print. So we just had to figure out how to promote this thing that I didn't spend as much time on, but I really enjoyed and I've never done it before. So we made 300 records. Last year, DJ made 200. So we decided to make 300 little EPs and all the proceeds from that will go to the Nancy Langhorne Foundation, as well as the CCA. The Colorectal Cancer Alliance, and they give free screenings to people who can't, who can't afford it. What we didn't know was that was going to sell out in 12 hours.
Yes, it sold out.
I didn't know that was going to happen. So they only made 200 the year before, and so we didn't have a really frame of reference of what I had no frame of reference on what anybody would want from me because I've never released anything. So, all right. I'll sign some, we put out 300, we'll see what happens. It's gone in a minute. I'm like, okay, now what? the record, it don't come out for another couple of weeks. And we, okay, all right, so now we're just releasing singles, which is, there's only four singles because there's only four songs on the record. So, all right, we put it out and everything's coming. So what we're going to do now, we got a couple of things. When is this actually going to air? Is it airing today?
No,
I've never heard Christmas, okay. Right? This is going to be the air, Christmas.
We could talk about that. Whenever you want it to, we can figure it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So
when do you want it to air?
I don't know when this is going to air, but if it doesn't air by the 5th, on the 5th, we are announcing another run of vinyls as well.
Oh,
as.
Cool.
Yeah, we had to, it took a long fifth, time to do it on the 5th. So we're announcing, that's when the record comes out. We're announcing another run of vinyls. I have merch for the first time and it's announcing that. And 15% of the merch will go towards the CCA as well.
Good.
And so hopefully people like the music. People bought the, okay, here's another thing. People bought the record without hearing a note.
Not a bad problem to have.
One note. I haven't released a note ever. Ever. But
consider the source. I mean, I don't need to hear it.
Yeah, I don't need to hear it. Yeah. I don't think that's something you shouldn't think about. I don't need to hear it first,
yeah.
It would be worse if people heard it and then decided not to buy it.
Yeah, I feel a little bad about that. Yeah.
Wow, so it's sold out in, did you say 12 hours?
11. It sold out. All the vinyls sold out in 11 hours. So we had to figure out what we could do. So we found out a way to do more vinyl. You won't get the next run of vinyl till, March or something, but we're doing another run. They'll look a little different. And,
Christmas comes every year, man.
Hey there, Osiris listeners. I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Smartwool. For more than 25 years, Smartwool has been making merino wool socks and apparel designed to keep you comfortable. Because they want to help you play, laugh, and explore in the outdoors with every thread they knit and every step you take. Because they believe that comfort sharpens focus and lets you perform beyond your limits. They are here to help you feel good. Now, it's up to you how far you will go. Take 15% off of your first order at smartwool.com. Smartwool. Go far, feel good.
Christmas yeah. comes every year. We just didn't know that we needed more than three.
I listen to vinyls. It's vinyls. Like nobody.
Anyway. It's back, dude. Vinyl's back.
It is. It is.
My next record's going to be on vinyl.
Nice.
I listen to Charlie Brown Christmas all year round. It's in the rotation. Like man, if it comes it on. Be. Yeah, it's a beautiful album. I mean, it's just
that Christmas time is here is absolutely my favorite. My favorite Christmas album. My favorite Christmas song.
100%. I agree with you. And when it comes on in the middle of August, you're sweating your ass off. It's kind of nice, you know.
I make him wait till after Halloween because Kavi. Mm. We do Diwali too, but man, Santa is her jam and she wants Christmas music. My wife's a December baby, so it's once it starts, it's just it kind of drives me crazy after a while. I go for Louis, Count Basie, and Tony Bennett. I try to go for James Brown, go for the cool stuff, but Kavi wants it year round. Even Jess is like, nope, gotta be at least after Halloween.
Hopefully Christmas Funk will at least give you a little bit of something different because I wanted to write a song that was from the perspective of me as a kid that didn't have any jingle bells in it, so
for sure
that was it.
Yeah
James Brown Santa Claus comes straight to the ghetto.
Killer. Yeah, Run-DMC. Does Run-DMC have sleigh bells in it? It does, huh?
Right, yeah. Christmas and a Happy New Year. That's where
that's right.
And the Happy New Year, that part.
That's right. Yeah. Oh man. Wow, that's amazing.
I'm interested. That's a group of special.
Yeah, I want to hear more about this Hawaii recordings and the. Was that just like you got there and did it hit you like I need to record or were you going there thinking? Hawaii said you need to record some.
I remember because you kept buying more shit. Because I was following you on Instagram. He's like, well, I'm working on this record. I bought this new.
All right. I went to, let's back up a little. I went to Hawaii. My girl and I, we went to Hawaii in March 2020. I had a show with Graham Lesh at Brooklyn Bowl the night before. Went to Hawaii on a trip, like a regular trip, and they shut down New York while we were there. Yeah. So my old roommate had a spot in, his parents had a house on Kauai that they couldn't Airbnb, and the father was working on the vaccine. He was the head of microbiology at Cornell.
Wow.
Can you stay at my house, at my parents' house for 5 months or so until we figure out what's happening on? Absolutely. So we stayed there.
Can you stay in my house?
Let me think about it.
Yeah, no, we can do that. I can figure that out. Yeah, we stayed there.
God is good, months. Man.
You know, stayed there for 5 months, realized that New York does not seem to be the place to really go back to, especially when we were living in our studio in New York. No. Nope. Yeah. So then we rented a house, another house on Kauai. For 8 months, some friends of ours, they were like, "Yeah, we're leaving. Would you like to rent our house?" Yes, we would. With your pool and your all of that. Thank you.
And your view and
your view. That man. And then we as towards our end of our time, like we stayed at another place for another 3 months, and all that was amazing. While I was there, everybody was starting to do these live streams and on Facebook and Instagram, all the musicians that we knew, we were trying to do something. But I saw that it didn't really seem like a good idea the way that everybody was doing it. We're all used to doing ticketed things and everybody was just kind of giving all their content away. And I was like, let's find a way to do it behind a paywall. So my partner and I, we made a platform. We made a whole social media site, a whole media site for called Auxcord for live streaming that was behind a paywall. And like we built the RTMP servers, we did all that stuff by hand because we had so much time on our hands because it was during the pandemic. So we built it and all the music and for everybody who came on our platform to do a concert, I would ask them to send me some acapellas or whatever and I would make a promo beat from their acapellas for their show.
That's cool.
One show that we had, we were doing this thing that we had at multiple rooms and having like, it was kind of like a party. So we had a DJ in the middle, in the landing set, and we had multiple rooms with different shows happening. Chris Royal had, unfortunately, the internet in New Orleans was going crazy that day, which happens from time to time. So I had to do a set for him under like really, really quick circumstances. And I didn't think I had any music, but I had some of those beats that I made for everybody else. And so I did a quick set with that. And then I realized I could use that. And so I extrapolated all those songs and made a lot of music from that. And wow, that's the Kawhi record.
Nice. Ah, I like it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. See, man, it's always these bad things that happen that, yeah, I wish they wouldn't happen, but all these, you learn stuff out of it.
Yeah.
You know,
could you ever have imagined building a land, like building a platform,
like building a what? Building a right? Building a website, learning code. What? Nah, man. That wasn't on the list.
No, but if you put someone in Hawaii for long enough, they'll figure out anything. It's not work when you look up and you go, wow, yeah, I'm sitting here in Hawaii learning this.
Well, the thing is, I mean, if you like, look at the whole situation, you have an unlimited supply of time. There's nothing that you can do to change that.
Right.
What you can do is do something with the time you have. And I don't know about you. Like I'm a creative. I like to create. I like to make things. I like to build things. And I feel way more comfortable and way happier when I'm doing that. So I saw a need, try to build it. I'm really, really proud of Oscar. I mean, the fact that,
it's amazing.
It came from nothing to, it's still up there. I mean, I can,
it's a resource for you for life.
Yeah. That's,
It's what, it's what Prince was talking about forever ago. He was like, keep all your shit and
do
it yourself.
And keep all the profits. You know, like, it's your art straight to the people. That's beautiful, man. Who do you think you got that from? Like, you have a musical family, but who do you think that, like, if I'm not building something or creating something, or is that just your inner makeup?
That's me. That's me.
That's just me.
Yeah. So I've learned how to verbalize the way I react in situations and act in situations. So, being a side man, my job as a sideman is to, you know, basically make somebody else better, make the whole situation that I'm in better. And you're hired to make everyone look better. But I've learned that I need to navigate it to make it good for myself. And making it good for myself means making the whole musical thing better. I feel better when the musical situation is such that I don't have to worry. And I don't have to think, and I can float on top. So I will make it so that that's the case. Subconsciously or consciously, but I've been doing it. I mean, it might take years in a certain situation, and I won't go into any details, but I will say, if you listen to any band that I was in the beginning of the band, and any band that I'm still in right now, a lot's changed because it's better for me. It's better for me musically. I feel like it's a better musical thing for me to be a part of.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to take over anything. I just want to make it.
No, make the band better. Kofi had that magical, that was his X-Man power. And some people didn't realize it until after he was gone. Obviously not TTB. They knew going in.
Right.
And Derek knew from him. I mean, he's with Derek Trucks band for 15 years, 11 years so before that. But I saw other bands that mistreated him and underpaid him and eventually let him go. And then they realized, and I've heard other people talk, they even knew, but they were like, the hole was a lot bigger when he left and what they realized.
The absence.
Yeah. And if he's there for a long time, it's like the yeast and bread. It just, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's what we're supposed to do. You know, we're supposed to like lift the whole thing up, you know?
So, yeah. And
No, go on.
No, I was going to say preparing for concerts since you were 3 years old, too.
That didn't hurt.
that's kind of a nice foundation to, you know, you start to know, I'm sure, at a young age, this sounds good. I can float on top here, you know?
You want to hear a story? So my dad and my mom tell the story all the time. My dad was a choir director. My mom was a piano player in church. And so my brother, my sister, and I, you know, go to rehearsals because they have rehearsals all the time. Because if you grew up, you're always at rehearsal. They're always at church because there's always something happening musically. But they tell this story all the time. There was a part, I think I was either two or three. It might have been two. But he was teaching the choir part. And I started laughing. And I started laughing a lot, like loud. What's going on? Apparently, I was laughing because the tenors couldn't get their part. like out loud to them. Like... As a child. So, I mean, like, it started then. I mean, my ears are from then. I've had these ears my whole life. It's just, how do you...
You're nicer about it now. You don't just go...
No. It took a while for me to learn how to, like, I come from a very musical family. I thought that everyone could sing, and when people couldn't sing, they were just faking. Dude. I thought that to, like, fourth grade.
That's how I thought about Kofi. I thought everybody was as good as him.
Yeah.
And when they weren't, I was like, what is wrong with you guys? Like, Kofi. Like, you know.
Can you imagine that? You know? Build up the confidence to go to choir and a 2 year old is just pointing and laughing. Yes. That's amazing, dude.
Yes. Pointing amazing. At you. Justifiably laughing at the fact that you don't know what you're doing.
And right. And also right. Oh,
God, that's awesome. That is so great.
Hey, man, if you can hear it, you can hear it.
That is so cool.
Yeah, and I come from a family of them. So, yeah.
It's all good, man.
I'm just the only one who decided to keep going with it.
Interesting. Well, I think there's a lot of value in being in that supportive role. You know, again, I always talk about professional wrestling, but one of the things I love about it is that everybody puts everybody over.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, even, and there's guys like Mick Foley, he's like, I lose all the time. My job is to put the other guy over, but I got famous and I still, even in losing, you can put yourself over.
Yeah.
You know, so nobody's losing. We're all supporting. We're all trying to raise the whole thing up.
It's an excellent point.
And if I get in bands where I feel like that's not, like, you're never going to help put me over, it's always going to be me for, sometimes I don't last as long. Because, you know, like Allman Brothers, they just stick you right there on the front line. Go, man. Same with the Grateful Dead and Company. It's like they're returning the favor.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, obviously Trey is like that. He's so supportive in every way with your situation, with your health. And everybody's like, he wants everybody to shine.
And one of the most beautiful parts about watching Tab is watching the members of Tab watch the members of Tab.
Yes.
Have their moments, dude. It's a blast. We're all in on it. You guys bring us in and it's, you know, going to see Fish and going to see Tab is literally apples and oranges, because it's just so, like, it's great to see. Those guys are phenomenal, obviously, in their own right as well, but their four thing is their, you know, seeing Natalie step up and you guys got big grins on your faces and hearing Ciro go for it and everybody turns to him and Trey's almost like walking towards you, sort of like, it's just such a fun, you see how much fun you guys are having and it's so contagious, you know, just like you were saying. It's just,
but just like I was saying before, check a video from when I first joined the band, look at 2012 and then look at the video from now and notice the difference in the context of what I was saying earlier. There's a lot of, it sounds kind of a little weird and it might be not the best thing to say on a podcast, but
you don't always lead from the front.
Yeah.
You don't always lead without, there's ways to do things without people necessarily knowing that you're doing it that will affect everyone in a positive way. And you, and if you can do these things without not, without needing the credit for it,
yeah,
your whole life would be so much easier and better. And people will want you around. They'll want you to be the, because you're doing the thing that they don't necessarily know what it is, but they know something about you is causing something great.
They know you're doing it.
Yeah.
They don't know what it
is. They don't know what it is.
Trey knows. That's why you're there.
It's just being undeniable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a spirit. It's an attitude, intention. And it is premeditated. I mean, that's, it's baked in for me, like it's baked into it. And yeah. I hope people will listen to that because it could take them very far. If you can let go of the needing the credit for it, I don't need the credit. You know what I want? It's pay me.
Right.
Because the thing is, I mean, take the credit if you give me the money.
Yeah, I mean, you can take the credit all you want.
I don't care about the credit.
Yeah.
Well, and it's more of a, then you're prepared for the marathon and not so concerned about winning the sprints.
Yeah. Or the I need the acknowledgement, or I need the fame, or the spotlight, or the whatever. It's like, no, I need it to be better. But you know,
right?
Yeah,
right.
Just, but then I know you're not taking me for granted. But and I've just you know, the Allman Brothers showed you. They said we never had a contract. They said you make us want to keep you around, and we'll make you want to stay.
That's beautiful,
like, man. Dude, look at that.
That's.
Wow.
No, yeah, that's great. I didn't need to spend money on a lot. I just was like,
that's beautiful.
Those are vows, dude.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. And I was like, and that's how I even looked at it with other bands going forward. I was like, oh, you don't want to put the ring on this finger. You want all this, but I need the ring.
Yeah.
I need that ring, right, man.
Yeah.
It's us, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the make me want to stay part.
You know? Exactly.
Right.
The make me want to stay part.
Because I mean, a lot of them will do that with the fame. Oh, well, you get to say you play with me. That don't help feed my kids, man. Saying that I played with you, like, you know, and if you know you're bringing this much to it, then it's like, are you going to help put me over like I'm putting you over? It's just, the, you know.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. That's the okay. Let's talk about that for just a second. The unfortunately, the higher up you go, there is this entitlement of I'm doing this for you. And there's not a, especially I would say more along the lines of pop stars.
Yeah, it's I've dealt not with a lot so of much in our scene.
Not so much in this scene, but there's this idea. Yeah, for real. But there's this idea of I'm doing this for you. You wouldn't be this without me. So you
you're
should
lucky
be,
to be.
Yeah, right.
Dude, them country guys. I know guys playing huge places, huge stadium size, and man, they are getting so shafted. $500 a show, $250 a show. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, but you get to say you play with me. I'm like, man, I could stay home. And then why I got to go all the way around the world to make that kind of money?
So,
and
but
I
that's
just
also,
was like, man, you got to know when to walk away from shit too.
You also have spent time on the road. Like the, a lot of times that, well, okay. The most of the people, so I know you know this, but I guess I'll explain this to your listeners. So pop world is a little bit different than this world. So they the way they do things, they have the A tier, B tier, and C tier. So A tier is the pop star, the pop star's makeup people and the management. B tier is the band. C tier, band and dancers. C tier is the crew. I can say with certainty that there was a tour that the person in top made at least $10 million that I did. The musicians were making somewhere between $3,000 a week. The dancers were making $1,000 a week. The head dancer was making $1,500 a week, and they all had to split bedrooms. And they had to split bedrooms so they can get that. But you see what I'm saying? Like the and That's we're crazy. Talking, this was an arena tour. 4 months.
This was a 6 month long arena tour.
Ooh, and 6 months.
That's like the cruise months. Ship of arena tours, dude.
Man, exactly. You know how so, different my kids will look 6 months
in 6 months
after I get leave. And wow. I'm doubling up with somebody for
$10 million
for that kind of money.
For that kind of money. And so the thing is, you know
the star's makeup person is above you.
Yes.
Of course. And then if you're someone who, you know, I would love to say, hey, can I get my own bedroom? But I know there's a line of musicians 10 miles long behind me that would love to take the gig. And then, you know, then there's that apprehension and that, like, so I'll just shut up and go with it. And
nah, I figured the answer to that, go get that mm-hmm. cheap motherfucker. You know? Mm-hmm. It's crazy, not though. Me. Go get the other person for that.
Well, it depends where you are in your trajectory.
I know, but sometimes you got to be able to draw that line before you're there.
Yeah, but that's hindsight. I mean, you never know that, right? I mean, if it's your first tour, you're not going to go, I got to share a room. I'm not doing it. Who has that? I mean,
well, first tour, maybe not. But I bet this wasn't these people's first tour, right? I'm going to guess.
Sure.
It wasn't.
Right?
It wasn't.
It's what we, you at some point, you have to demand more for yourself. And I've seen it happen. I had other people do it for me. My ex-wife did it one time, booking clinics. Yeah. And she was like, you just don't understand who you are. You're O'Teal Burbridge. And I was like, I don't.
Yeah.
And she did it for me. She got more money. I was paid as soon as I got off the plane. Like they took me straight to get food. They had my hotel flights and it picked me up from the airport, took me back. And the guy wrote her a thank you letter afterwards saying, it was so great dealing with you. And she was like, you're O'Teal fucking Burbridge. You should, you know, why are you doing you? You're treating yourself this way.
This is the same conversation that me and Ayla, my partner, my girlfriend, we've had, because she comes from a different background. She is like the global head of B2B sales at her job, like international job. She knows the corporate side of things in a way that I obviously don't, but she also knows how to put on events and how that works with corporate situations. Now, us coming from a corporate situation, like they spend, there's been times in my life where a corporate entity will, you know, ask me to come and perform or something. And it will be for, you know, back then it would be 500 to 1,000 or something like that, 2,000, depending on the situation. Seeing what is actually happening in all the money now, going from this side, seeing what, like the things that have been stressing me out, the things like stuff like contracting, right? So you're dealing with these people and their prices, and it's like, okay, well, this person is the person you wanted at the rehearsal. This person is the one you wanted the thing, but you don't want to pay $150 for a hotel for this person. So you're rather hire somebody else, have me do a whole bunch more work for this person just because you want to save $150 when you when you have pulled in $25,000 today from this show that I know of. So I mean, like, this is
right.
That whole, like, it's weird. It's weird. And now seeing it as an adult, seeing it as a like somebody who can actually do things about it. One thing I do and I try to do is one thing that old head did when I first moved to New York. He sat me down and said, you're great. You're going to be a great player. I'm not worried about that. You need to start writing and never leave the country for less than $2,500 because we work way too hard.
That's good advice.
For you and your generation. So right when I moved to New York, I had an old head sit me down and tell me that. And I think
that's awesome.
We don't do that enough. I think our generation hasn't passed those. We haven't passed these.
We're doing it right now. We're doing it right now. Dude, I had this conversation over the last 3 days with a buddy of mine that's a young bass player down here, 28 years old. I was doing all the same stuff at 28, the drinking, the partying, but a couple of the guys are like really, you know, they're playing with their lives. And I said, hey, man, you got to pretend like you have two kids. Because one way that really solidified this for me was having Nigel. So I was in between gigs. I was in between Allman Brothers and Dead & Company. So, but here's Nigel. So for me to leave Jess alone to deal with all this. Neither of us had a kid before. He had a rough start. Was like a big deal. So for like $500, I'm not going to fly all the way. So I set a minimum for myself that was higher than I normally did. Mm-hmm. But it, like, if you couldn't hit it, I was like, I got to stay home.
Yeah.
And then I had two or three people that would always pay me that or more. So that was my base. And then the other people I just told no. And so it became reflexive. No, just no. Now they're just learning. Okay. Oteil is not going to do it for that. Almost every time they call back and then they would offer me more money. And I would get pissed. I was like, so you always could have paid me more money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was only until I said no.
Right.
And then you come up. So then it was like a game. And so that's why I was a big joke was like, just say no. Ask Krasner, everybody. I'm just like, just say no. And then the money, it keeps going up. So like Nancy Reagan gave me my mantra. Of course, she was about drugs.
I always
joke like, just say no, man. That's my reflexively. And when I get a, hey, I got a gig for you. No. Just like.
You didn't even hear it. No.
Dude, one guy went up so high. And then it made me feel like a high end escort, and I was like, no, you're trying to buy me. And I still said my no was final, but we got him up. Like, it was so far, it was ridiculous.
That's great.
I believe you. Yeah. There's been,
but so that's why I told my friend the other day, I said, pretend you have two kids, just pretend. Yeah. And a lot of the numb nut shit will go away. His girlfriend said, these musicians, I say they're in the 13th grade, they never made it out of the 13th grade. It's like, I'm so going to use that.
That's great.
You know who they are, right?
Yeah. I know exactly who they are. I'll give you a list.
I got a list. And now, if you have too many of them in your band,
you can have one tops. You can have one.
Because they play that. I'm uber talented, so I could give them. No, I know. I'll take slightly less talented.
Absolutely. No. You keep one. You keep one because you need a wild card. You need somebody in your band who's going to jump off the stage from the drums. Like, yeah, you need one person. You know what I'm saying? I need somebody around who I might need to keep an eye on just in case. You know, I want that.
Since it can't be me anymore.
Since I'm not the one, I have to be in control of all this shit. Let one by one, somebody. Just
too somebody much worries.
That's amazing.
Oh, man. Dude, we ain't going to keep you all day. I know you're going to be tired. Look, this is, you're one of the X-Men, man. This is him on chemo day. Like, so we're taking enough of your time. I know your schedule is going to kick in. You're probably going to want to go to bed, but man, bless it you. Is, you just yo, lifted yeah, us all really, up so is, much today, man.
Been dying to talk with you, man. And I'm so happy that you're here. And I'm really
glad this all worked out, man. I've been wanting. I never get a chance to talk to Oteil. Like, it's something that every time I talk to Oteil, and it only happens like once or twice a year, unless we're on a gig or something. It's just
I'm in control of everything. So I have a million balls in the air, and I never have time to really. You got to have that long bus ride, which we never had. You know, we never did a bus tour, but one day.
Yeah.
Well, you're killing it, man. You're looking good. You're looking sparkly and beautiful. And
yeah, keep smiling, man. Thank you for everything. You're an inspiration.
I appreciate you. Definitely. And I did go to my first Dead & Co show this past year. I was there. I'm gonna have to try to come and check out one of these last ones.
Yeah, man.
I gotta get to the last one. Yeah.
Where are you living at now?
This
spot behind you is Brooklyn. Okay.
Yeah.
We're gonna be in New York for quite some time, I think.
But let
me
know.
My kids will be there. Hopefully, the COVID seems to be coming back.
I just got the flu. Got the flu type A, and
scary as shit? Like.
Yeah, now with the chemo stuff, like normally flu, you know, whatever. No, flu, that shit had me on my back, bro.
Were you able to get like Like, did you get COVID vaccinations and stuff
yes,
too?
I got all, I'm about to get the bivalent. I was going the bivalent, the new one, whatever.
Bivalent.
I was going to get that. Bivalent. I'm sorry. I was going to get that, but I got the flu. So, over the next couple of days, I'll get that. And, I mean, the rest of this year is just kind of crazy. And just
dude, you're kinda rolling with it, but look at your face.
I know.
He's like,
edibles.
We here. Yeah. That's exactly the second I leave here. You know what? I mean, there's a couple of different companies that I like their products, and I haven't actually talked to them. I've never done that sort of thing. But so I have to say,
need to get you that sponsorship.
Yeah, for real. The Keef company, so they make these drinks, these 100-milligram drinks, and I drink them after I play. So normally after, I don't know how it works for you, but after I play a show like that, it takes a while to calm down. I used to, have, my bourbon after the show and I'd be cool, but obviously not drinking anymore. But the thing that, because I take all this weed anyway, the thing that I found to help those 100-milligram Keef drinks. I need to call them up. I don't know who they are, but I need to find them. But yeah, them and, I had these like 100 nanos that I got to take all the time during the day, plus RSO. So that's the weed stuff. Mm. And then all the rest of the other things. So I'm about to go do that right now and pass out. But I had a really, really fun time with y'all, man. I want to come back.
Please.
This is fun.
Please. Yeah. Open invitation, really, man. This. Anytime you want, just let us know. This is.
You could have a little segment, just like 15 minutes on the regular. Like, what's up? What you got going on, James?
Hey, man, I'm bad.
10 minutes after your 100-milligram Keef drink, you get to come on and tell us how you're feeling.
Yeah, it'll be the 100-milligram moment. Yo, we can do that.
100-milligram moment. I love that. That's what we'll call it.
Yeah.
I'm with
it's
it.
100-milligram minute.
I'm with it.
Oh man, that's awesome.
Have a good one, brother.
Thank you so much for hanging with us, dude.
Absolutely, rest man. Well. I'll talk to you all soon. Thank you, Var.
Thanks so much. God bless.
Happy holidays.
Yeah. Osiris.